Now we're continuing on with our look at some of the questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've considered a few of them already, and we find another in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, this afternoon. The verse 51 provides us with the question asked by the Saviour. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Something quite remarkable happened on that crowded street outside the ancient city of Jericho that day. A large number of people following the Lord Jesus Christ have travelled with him as he went from Jerusalem, and now he finds himself in Jericho. And as he's passing through that ancient city, suddenly the Lord stops and he makes himself available to one man so that he might bring to him the blessings of God. Now that one man is named for us. He's called Bartimaeus. He's a man who cried out to the Lord for mercy. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus stopped with him and spoke to him, and in speaking asked this question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I can't really think of a more amazing question for the Lord Jesus to ask any man. Because with that question, the very God of eternity puts himself at the disposal of a blind beggar outside the city of Jericho. Bartimaeus, one who sat at the side of the road begging for loose change, who had never more than enough than the clothes on his back, and yet at that very moment, the one who holds all things in his hands stops with him and asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" I find it wonderfully interesting that of all the people that surrounded the Lord Jesus that day, that he would stop with this one man, Bartimaeus. Now we might stop for a while and think to ourselves, I wonder what it would be like if the Lord Jesus stopped with us and asked the question, "What can I do for you?" As the Saviour passes by in this service today, because I believe the Lord is here. He's here when his people gather. He's here when his word is read and when his gospel is preached. It is our firm conviction that in each of our services, the Lord is present with us. Now imagine that he stops just where you're seated, like Bartimaeus, and he asks you the question, "My child, what can I do for you today?" Perhaps you might think, how could we get the Lord to stop? How could we get him to listen, to ask what it is that can be done? This wonderful story of Bartimaeus, I believe, teaches us very clearly that we can have the Lord Jesus Christ intervene in our lives and in our circumstances. And the question that he asked that day to Bartimaeus, I believe he can ask of us also. And I want to show you from this passage just how this question is reserved for a very specific group of people. Not everyone will be asked this question, but I believe that there are certain things that we can point out in the story of Bartimaeus that become applicable to us all. And I want you to see, first of all, that the Lord Jesus asks this question from those who, first of all, request his attention. Now look at verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now you'll notice Mark tells us that in that company that day, there was a great number of people. Those who were close to the Saviour, his disciples that no doubt surrounded him, but even beyond that, there was a great number of people that were following that little group outside of Jericho. And yet, out of the vast multitude there that day, there was only one person that was described as crying unto the Saviour. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The people to whom the Lord Jesus makes himself available are not merely to those who surround him, but to those who earnestly seek him. And that's what separates Bartimaeus from the rest of the crowd that day. They were willing to be in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Bartimaeus was the one who cried out specifically for him. And notice certain things about his cry. It's a cry of desperation. It's quite interesting. The word that's translated cried there in our Bible is the same word that's used to describe the squawk or the call of the raven. It's not a particularly harmonious or melodious sound. It's a rasping cry. It actually speaks of a loud scream, a cry of anguish. It's the same word that will be used a little bit later in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 15, where we're told of the crowd that cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now Bartimaeus has found out that the Lord Jesus was passing by. And he doesn't offer some half-hearted appeal. He cries out. And he's crying out as if his whole life depended upon it. The whole world, as it were, can hear Bartimaeus screaming, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." It's a cry of desperation. You might think of the man stranded on the desert island that sees the boat passing by on the horizon as he lifts up his voice and he cries as loud as he can, "Have mercy on me, stop and save me." This isn't a time to whisper. He's crying out. He's in desperation. And I wonder, when was the last time that we truly prayed in desperation? That we cried out to the Lord as if our whole life depended upon him hearing you? John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, had often a very unique way with words. He was never formally educated, but he was a brilliant preacher and a brilliant writer. And I remember reading a quote from John Bunyan many years ago that I've never forgotten. He said, "When you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words be without heart." Bartimaeus would say amen to that. He wanted the Lord's attention. And in order to get it, he cries out in desperation. Not only did he cry in desperation, but he cried with determination. The crowd that was following the Lord Jesus that day must have been, well, maybe a solemn group of dour-faced Presbyterians, I don't know. Because as soon as someone started shouting out and getting emotional and passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, notice what they did in verse 48. They charged him that he should hold his peace. "Sit down and be quiet," is what they said. "Don't bother the master. Why would he have time for the likes of you? He's about important business. Sit down. Hold your peace." Many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried a great deal more. "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." He's not going to be silenced. He's going to ignore the crowd's attempt to muzzle him. He's going to continue crying out. In fact, Mark tells us that he wasn't quiet for a moment. He was even louder than he had been previously. He cries out with more urgency, more emotion, more determination. He's determined to get the Savior's attention. He knows that if he sits quietly by that day while the Lord Jesus passes by and he says nothing, then he knows that every other day from this point forward will be just the same as today. He'll be sitting at the side of the road begging without hope until the day that he died. He may have been blind, but he could see something that none of the others could see. He knew that left to himself, he was doomed to live a life of misery and darkness, and he's determined that if this is the only day in which the Lord Jesus Christ is passing by, then I'm going to cry and no one's going to stop me, because this may be my first and only and last opportunity to get his attention. And if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know that we never read of the Lord Jesus returning to Jericho again. There will be no second opportunity for the city of Jericho. So he's going to continue crying. And he's not going to stop. I fear sometimes that when it comes to our praying, that we get discouraged. And when we really should be desperately seeking the Lord and determined to hold on to his promises, we give up. Someone or something may discourage us and we hold our peace and we sit back down in silence. But Bartimaeus is determined to cry out in spite of the discouragements that he's facing. And the wonderful thing is that as a result of his desperate, determined cry, the Lord Jesus stops with him. He responds to his cry. And those who are going to receive the Lord's attention will cry for it with desperation and determination. Who else does the Lord stop with? Not only those who request his attention, but he stops with those who recognize his ability. As I said, Bartimaeus was sitting at the side of the road begging as he had done every day for as long as he can remember. And though he can't see, there's something about that day, the noise, the bustle, the crowds that are passing by, he can tell for one reason or another, there's more people about today. The roads are more crowded than they normally are. There's something happening. There's a great deal of excitement and noise about the city. If only I could find out what that was. Someone said that he had no eyesight, but he had plenty of insight. And word comes to him that's Jesus of Nazareth who's in town. Of course, Jesus of Nazareth is simply a reference to the place where our Savior had grown up as a youth. And they tell him Jesus of Nazareth is in town, but that's not how Bartimaeus refers to him. The crowd called him Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus, on the other hand, refers to him as Jesus, thy son of David. He sees something about this man that the rest of the crowd has missed. They see only his birthplace and upbringing as being Nazareth, that forsaken little town, but Bartimaeus sees something far greater. He's Jesus, the son of David. And that's a reference, a title that was to be given to the Messiah. Here's the one of whom the prophets had spoken long ago, the promised one of God who would come in fulfillment to all of the great and wonderful promises of redemption. Bartimaeus has seen something of the Lord Jesus that the leaders of Israel have either refused or were unable to see. Not only does he call him the son of David, but if you look down to verse 51, the end of the verse, the blind man said unto him, Lord. He calls him Messiah and Lord. Perhaps he's heard reports of our Savior's mighty works, and hearing those reports, he has believed that this is the promised one of God. And no doubt the Spirit has given him a wonderful insight into our Savior's character and power and will, to which many others were oblivious. Romans 10 and verse 17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, Bartimaeus saw more by faith than what the rest of the crowd saw by sight. He recognized something of the ability of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is it that he recognized about the Savior? Well, he recognized his ability to hear. The crowd, as we said, had tried to silence him. He cried out all the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. It's almost as if he knew that the Messiah would hear the cry of one in need. Those who have the privilege of the Lord intervening in their lives are those who believe that when they cry unto him, that he hears them. It's really quite remarkable when you think about it. God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. Now, it doesn't matter if we are in a large group and everyone is talking, and there's so much noise that we can hardly hear what the person beside us is saying. If you've ever found yourself in such a group, you realize sometimes you've almost to shout to make yourself heard, and then all of the other noise and hubbub that's going on, you wonder, how does God ever hear the prayers that are offered to him? But he does hear. I've been told, and perhaps, ladies, some of you might be able to help me out in this, but I'm told that every mother recognizes the cry of her own child. It doesn't matter what other noise is going on, that as soon as that cry is heard, it's recognized above all the other noise. Well, the Lord Jesus heard the cry of one of his children, Bartimaeus' cry. Bartimaeus believed that not only was the Lord Jesus able to hear him, but he was able to help. He believed that he was the Son of David, the long-awaited Messiah. Remember, he's thinking back to the days of his youth, when he sat in the synagogue and he heard of the rabbi reading from the scriptures. Maybe he had taken down one of the scrolls of Isaiah and read from Isaiah 35 and verse 5 that says that when the Messiah comes, that he'll open the eyes of the blind. Maybe Bartimaeus had heard about that wonderful scripture, that wonderful promise. And he's heard something about the miracles performed by this Jesus of Nazareth. The lepers that have been healed. The lame that are walking. The devil possessed that have been healed. Even the dead that have been raised to life. Now that he hears that this Jesus is passing by, he knows what he must do. He must cry out to him, because what he has done for others, perhaps he can do for me. He believes that this man has the power to open his eyes. He believes that. Now tell me, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to hear you and able to help you? Whatever it is, the need you might have, do you believe it this afternoon? That he has the ability to intervene on your behalf and to do that which no man can do for you? I fear sometimes that as Christians we fail to fully realize what the Lord is able to do. That he has the ability to meet every need. He has the ability to solve every problem. To answer every prayer to those that call upon him, and yet we fail to call. The Lord Jesus made himself available to one who requested his attention, who recognized his ability, and who thirdly required his assistance. The crowd stops in verse 49. It stood still. It stopped because the Lord Jesus stopped. And as he stopped, he commanded that the blind man who had been calling for him be brought to him. This man who had cried and asked for charity and loose change is now going to require for something rather different. When he's brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not looking for money, he's looking for a miracle. He needs divine assistance. He recognizes that he himself is unable to change his situation. His blindness is not something that he himself could fix. He's powerless against the darkness in which he lives. There's a wonderful spiritual application there that by nature we're born in darkness and we can't give ourselves a light to see. We're in darkness. We need someone who can come and give us spiritual insight. Bartimaeus doesn't need money or nicer clothes or a better location at the side of the road from which to beg. He needs God to heal him, to give him sight. And there are times that we will have to face up to things, that there are problems and difficulties that we encounter that are far greater than our ability to fix. And we have to face up to the fact that we cannot alter our own situation. And when we get to that point, we find ourselves like Bartimaeus. We are reduced to begging God for mercy. But that's okay, because that's when the Lord is more likely to intervene on our behalf. Those who recognize their need of him. You see, as long as we think that we can fix the problem ourselves, as long as we think that I can do better the next time, and next time things will work out well, we'll never cry out to the Lord. We'll never seek him in desperation. We'll never look to him for his ability or his power. As long as we've still got a backup plan and a last resort to fix our problem, then we'll not seek him for his mercy. And we'll never have heaven's resources at our disposal. The Lord stops and helps those who realize that he is all that we have and all that we need. There's a common thought that the Lord helps those who help themselves. That couldn't be further from the truth. As long as we think we can still help ourselves, the Lord will say, well, try your best, but it's not going to work. No, the Lord helps those who cannot help themselves. He stops with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is brought before the Lord Jesus Christ on a busy road just outside of Jericho. The only one who had cried out to the Lord Jesus, the only one who had faith to believe that he could be healed, the one who stands before him is his only hope. And he sees this opportunity that could easily pass him by. Tomorrow will be too late. And the Lord calls and asks, what can I do for you, Bartimaeus? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Tell me, do you see the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope? The only one who can deliver you. The only one who can help you. The only one who can rescue you from being a lost soul begging for mercy at the side of some road. Too many have settled for their blindness when they could have blessed. They've settled for less than what the Lord would give. But he comes before the Savior. What a question. What do you want me to do for you? You might think to yourself, that's a dumb question. Surely the Lord can see that Bartimaeus is blind. And being the Son of God, he already knew the condition of the man that was calling upon him. Why did he ask this question at all? Why did he not just simply reach out his hand and touch him and heal him? Of course the Lord Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed. But he wanted to see if Bartimaeus knew what he needed. He wants to hear him confess his need and his dependency upon the Saviour in the same way that the Lord knows exactly what we have need of. And yet he would have us as children call upon our Heavenly Father for that divine help. If you would have the Lord stop with you and help you as Bartimaeus did, let him hear your cry. Confess your faith in him. Tell him what it is that you require from him. Bartimaeus, what would you have me to do for you today? And his response is one of pure faith. Lord, that I might receive my sight. No one else could give him back his sight. His parents, his friends, the physicians of Jericho, none of them could help him. But he trusts that in that moment that the Lord Jesus Christ could help him. And those who stood by no doubt looked on in wonder and amazement as this blind man received his sight. He's restored to wholeness at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Saviour says to him in verse 52, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Your faith has saved you. We're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Bartimaeus received far more than physical healing that day. I believe he received spiritual healing. You'll notice what happens. That being healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he immediately followed him. Becomes a follower of the Lord. That's what happens when a lost person responds to the gospel of grace. When our faith is exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord moves in and heals them instantly, completely, eternally. And in this day of religion and self-righteousness, we need to remember that salvation only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So tell me, what would you ask for this afternoon if the Lord were to stop with you and say, "What would you have me to do for you?" Let me say that if you're not a Christian, then your answer should come as quickly as that of Bartimaeus. "Lord, heal me. Heal me of my blindness. Take away my sin and give me your salvation." That should be your cry. Away with this notion that all that you need is more time or more opportunity or more money or more things. Those will never satisfy our soul for eternity. We need Christ and him alone. He is undoubtedly the one thing that we need above all others. You may have a financial need, but if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your greatest need is not cash. It's Christ. He immediately received his sight. The Lord has done for him what no other could do. He's given sight to a blind man. He's brought from darkness into light. And he becomes immediately a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. Can I just say in closing this afternoon that this still is available to us for those that cry upon the Lord. If you're not a Christian and you're here this afternoon, I want you to see yourself, unflattering though it may sound, like Bartimaeus, blind and begging at the side of the road. But know this, the Lord Jesus passes by. And he stops with all who call upon him, those who seek him earnestly and cry out for his assistance. And when the question is asked, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? May your prayer be the same as Bartimaeus, Lord, heal me. Make me whole. Make me yours. And may you become a follower, as he did, of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. The Lord hears and answers the cry of those who call upon him in desperation and looking to him as the only object of their faith, their only hope for time and eternity. What a wonderful question asked by the Lord Jesus that day. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What is your answer? What would you have him do? May your answer be to be saved by his grace, kept by his power, and preserved until the eternity of God begins in the heaven above, where you might spend your time in the Father's presence. May that be your prayer. And may you receive the same gift that Bartimaeus did. Be made whole by the Saviour. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this afternoon. Amen.